We're learning Shmuel Aleph, and before we begin Perek Yud Ches, I'd just like to touch on a point that we basically finished last week. But we mentioned in Pasuk Nun Hey that when Shaul saw David going out to greet the Plishti, to go fight the Plishti, Shaul said to Avner, who's general, Ben Mizeh Hanar, who's this lad the son of? Which was a little bit strange. David had been all this time playing music for Shaul. Shaul should have known him very well. And we mentioned Chazal say that he realized when David was going out to fight the Plishti, he realized David had royalty in him. He was from Shevet Yehuda. And the question was he in the direct lineage of Peretz, which is where the kings would come descend from? Or was he from Zerach, the other branch of Yehuda, which would mean he'd be Choshev, but he wouldn't be the king? The Malba mentions another point. Shaul promised that the one who strikes down the Plishti will marry the king's daughter. Now, usually when it comes to Shiduchim, you should check out the prospective son-in-law earlier. But that didn't happen. And now David killed Goliath. So now Shaul is actually curious to know, you know, who's he stuck with? Ben Mizeh Hanar, who's he the son of? What's his yichus? After all, he's going to marry Shaul's daughter. So Avner said, I swear, Chai Nafshecha HaMelech, by the life of the king, Im Yodati, I don't know, and it was his father's Yishai, but you want to know the full impact or exactly who this yichus is, that I don't know. So the king said, find out, Ben Mizeh HaOlem, who this person is. When you ask around, ask for the Olam, which is a more of a complimentary term. Try to find out the yichus of David. And according to Chazal, that he was actually concerned, is David fit for royalty? We mentioned, Doeg piped up and he said, what do you mean to be the king? He can't even marry a Bas Yisrael. He comes from Moab. He descends from Ruth. And then there was a big a debate, which Rashi brings down, are the women from Moab allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael? And the king said, find out Ben Mizeh HaOlem. And the word Olem can refer to the fact that this halacha is not clear. You should clarify, is he fit to marry into Klal Yisrael? Uchshuv David. Now this point was actually clarified earlier. In Sefer Rus it says Boaz had the exact same question. Are they allowed to marry Rus HaMoaviyah? And at that time Boaz is paskin that it was mutter. And the Gadol HaDor paskin it was mutter. But if it's a psak based on Bezdin, later on if there's a Bezdin that's greater, sometimes it can be, they can override the psak and they can change it. It's not a, and therefore it was still open for discussion, and this was a lingering doubt that persisted and caused David a lot of anguish through the years. That as great as he was, there was always this doubt on him, maybe he can't even marry a Bas Yisrael. He's totally out of Klal Yisrael, descending from Moav. But Uchshuv David Me'akosas HaPlishti. When David returned from striking the Plishti, Vayikach Oso Avner, Avner took him, Vayivyehu Lifnei Shaul, and brought him before Shaul, Rosh HaPlishti V'yodo, and David's carrying the head of the Plishti to be Mefarsim, the miracle that happened. Vayomrei Lov Shaul, and Shaul said to him, Ben Mi'ato Hanar. Now he asked him directly, who are you the son of? Vayomer David. David said, Ben Avdecha Yishai, I'm the son of your servant, Yishai Beis Halachmi from Beis Lechem. And we'll see in a moment that was the whole answer. Shaul seemed to accept it and be happy with it, and we'll go on to the next perek. But in those few words, if the concern was like the Malbim says, that Shaul wants to know who's going to marry his daughter, that was the deal. Whoever strikes down the Plishti, the king will make him wealthy, and he'll marry the king's daughter, and his whole family will be exempted from taxes. David responds, what, do you think I'm dreaming of marrying the king's daughter? Ben Avdecha Yishai. I'm the son, not only am I an Eved, my father's like an Eved to the king. We're not on a par. The king should find a royal shidduch. So somebody to marry into the king has to be on that level. I'm Ben Avdecha Yishai. We're your servants. It's not expected that I should marry the king's daughter. So of course she'll like that answer. And if the answer was, is David a threat to the Malchus, David laid that concern to rest. And he said, Ben Avdecha Yishai, I'm the son of your servant Yishai. And we know in general, that's the way they spoke to the king. But David especially, whenever you find he spoke to Shaul, we had before when he was speaking to him about the fact that he killed the lion and the bear, he said, Avdecha Roes Tzon Oviv, that your servant used to be the shepherd for his father's sheep. He always referred to himself as the Eved of Shaul. And now he mentions his father also as the Eved, in other words, they have no dreams of taking over the Malchus. Perek Yurches. Vahi kechaloso ledaber el Shaul. It was when David finished speaking to Shaul. V'nefesh Yehonasan nikshara b'nefesh David. The soul of Yehonasan became attached, bonded together with the soul of David. There's a sefer called Ben Sira. The Gemara mentions it a number of times. It was a collection of sayings by Chacham. Some say it was the son of Yirmiah. But whoever the author of Ben Sira is, it was a collection of sayings. But it wasn't Torah. In fact, the Gemara calls it Svarim Chitzoinim, the books that are outside Sifrei Kodesh, and the discussions whether you're allowed to read it or not. But certain statements are brought down in the Gemara, and whatever the Gemara quotes is Torah. Ben Sira has the expression, Kol Of Lemino Yishkon, which is funny because thousands of years later, we use that exact expression in English. Kol Of Lemino Yishkon. Birds of a feather flock together. That's what it says. But you should know David and Yehonasan, this is an unusual expression, that it was Nikshara B'Nefesh David. Very often people get together if they have a pleasant experience together. They enjoy being together. What they're doing together is to their liking. It's orev, it's sweet, it's pleasant. Sometimes they do it because the end result, there's a moil, there's a benefit to be gained by staying together. The bond of Yehonasan and David was totally different. They each recognized each other's greatness. It was a bonding of what's called toiv, good and good. It was intrinsically, each one was on a madrega, that they realized the good in each other. And as we've learned, David, on one hand, people saw him and they realized Vashem Imoy, that Hashem was with him. One pshat we had was Shaul didn't recognize him and he said, who's this person? Because David just looked. You could see the Shekhinah was on him when he went out to fight Goliath, and he simply didn't recognize him. So on one hand, David had the Kedushan and Vashem Imo, which is an expression you find constantly, that the Shekhinah rested on David. On the other hand, we know David was always the Admoni, the one with the reddish complexion, meaning of more of a violent nature. And they didn't recognize his own family, didn't recognize his greatness. So David, on one hand, you have an extreme greatness, and on the other hand, it's a question mark, who exactly he is. And Shaul, who had this Ruach Ra, this spirit that caused him to look at things with a bad eye toward David, we'll see that just overcame whatever feelings of greatness he saw in David. Yehonasan wasn't troubled with that. Yehonasan clearly saw the greatness of David. He had no concerns. He didn't have this Ruach Ra. He didn't have any other questions of all those who were worried, is David Zichus good? He was able to see that David's Madrega was so great that his soul was bonded, Benefesh David, to the soul of David. Vayehoveyu Yehoinasan Kenafsho. And Yehoinasan loved David like himself. Throughout Sefer Shmuel, up to this point, the son of Shaul was referred to as Yonasan. There's just two places where he was called Yehonasan. Over here, the fact that they have a hey, adding a letter to the name, denotes a certain greatness. And now that we're going to deal with the fact how Yehonasan really put his, not just his position as prince, that he was ready to give it over to David and let David be the king, but we'll see, he actually incurred his father's wrath. He was willing to put himself into a sakana because he was convinced that David is going to be Malchus based David, and that's essential for Klal Yisrael, and he was willing to risk everything for David. So from this point on, he's called Yehonasan with a hey. Previously, there was only two cases where the hey was added. When he went out to fight the Plishtim, they added a hey to show his greatness. But ordinarily, it was Yonasan. Vayikachei Shaul bayomahu. Shaul took David on that day, v'lonisano, and he didn't allow him, loshuv beis aviv, to go back to his father's house. It seems to imply that David wanted to go back home. Either he had that responsibility to the sheep, even though his brothers didn't acknowledge it, but he wanted to go back home, he had jobs to do, or he realized it's a sakana to stay with Shaul. He knew what he was in for, but Shaul didn't allow him to go back. And this is, we're now discussing other things that how David becomes and the role of leadership and reaches his greatness. We discussed before how he played the kinor, the harp for Shaul, and there was a certain, the way his music was imbued with a certain ruchnius that it was able to put a stop to Shaul's ruach ra. And we just discussed about David being the ish milchama and killing Goliath. And now we're going to see a number of other things that caused David to become the leader. Shaul himself took David and kept him with him. Vayichros Yehonasan v'David bris. Yehonasan and David made a bris. Not like the treaties you have between Avimelech and Avram, or between Yitzchak and Avimelech, treaties you find in the Torah that where you're afraid that the other person is going to attack you. Lavan and Yaakov made a bris. Over there they made a bris that we're now obligating ourselves to keep to the deal, we're making a treaty, and we have to follow it here. Here what Yehonasan wanted to do was he wanted to somehow express his great love to David. So he made a bris, Bahavoso Yoso Kenavsho, simply because he loved David like himself. He was looking for some way to show David how loyal he's going to be to David. And there's not going to be any question that after Shaul, Yehonasan will back David. That's who's making this bris. Vayispashet Yehonasan. Yehonasan removed as Hame'il Asher Olav, the robe that he was wearing, Vayineilu David, and he gave it to David. Umadov, and his special clothing, that was the term we had, the clothing he wore when he went out to war, Vad Charbo, including his sword, Vad Kashto and his bow, Vad Chagoro and his belt. He took up all those special clothing that as the son of the king he wore, and he took it off and he gave it to David. And in Dikduk, normally the term would be Vayifshat. Vayifshot, he took off the clothing. The term Vayis Pashet, like the clothing was removed from him, somehow that form of the verb implies like the clothing went straight to David. Another T, it was done as the Radak says, Barotzon Godol uva'ava rabba, with a great desire and a tremendous love. Vayetze David. David went out, b'chol asher yishlachenu Shaul, wherever Shaul sent him Yaskil, he was successful. Vayisimeyu Shaul al anshe hamilchama. Shaul placed him over the men of war. And we'll see that Avner remained the general. It's not clear exactly what role David had. In other words, Avner was the general, but David was still placed over the anshe hamilchama. And this is already the time when all of the Giboyrim that we're going to learn about later, all of the tremendous valiant warriors, Yoav, and we're going to have Amasan, we're going to have many Giboyrim that there were already Klal Yisrael had, and yet David came from nowhere, killed the Plishti, but they realized his greatness to be the leader over the Anshei HaMelchama. Vayitav be'enei chol ha'om, and he was good in the eyes of all the people, which is a very unusual expression, that everybody, he found favor in everybody's eyes. V'gam be'enei avdi Shaul, and also in the eyes of the servants of Shaul. They're mentioned as a separate entity. You have all the people, and you have the servants of Shaul, meaning those who are faithful to Shaul, that even those who cared for Shaul realize David's not a threat. They're the Avodim of Sheol, and yet David found favor in their eyes. They realized that David was working for Sheol. In other words, they weren't jealous. First of all, jealousy sometimes is caused because a person figures, why him? I can do this. I can do just as good of a job. Here, they weren't jealous because they realized that David was fit to be the leader, and they weren't. So even though you're bringing in an outsider, and all of a sudden you're putting him over all of the soldiers and all of the officers, but no, he was good in their eyes. They realized that he was greater, and they were also on a Madrega, they were tzaddikim, that they did what was best for Klal Yisrael, and they realized that David deserved to be the leader. So he found favor in everybody's eyes. Vayihi bevoam. And it was when they came back from the fighting the Plishti. What happened was, after the Plishti was killed, Klal Yisrael was still camped in that same valley, in that same area, and there were skirmishes with the Plishtim, but now they were going back and leaving the battlefront. They were going to go back to their cities. Vayihi bevoam, when Sheol and David were coming, and all the soldiers were with them, b'shuv David mehakosas ha-plishti, when David returned from striking down the Plishti, v'teitzeno ha-noshim, the women went out, Mikol Ari Yisrael, from all of the cities in Klal Yisrael. Wherever they went, they were traveling from city to city, and David's carrying the head of Goliath to show everybody the tremendous miracle. And all the women came out, Loshir, to sing. V'hamecholos, and the dances. It didn't say umecholos. V'hamecholos is mashma. It was like a special dance. The victory dance or whatever. They had a special dance to celebrate. And they came out, Likras Sheol HaMelech, to greet Sheol the king. So it says very clearly their intention, we'll see in a moment, was not to slight Sheol. They came out to greet Sheol. But this was something that with all the other victories wasn't done. It was after David killed Goliath, and David is now returning, Mehakosas HaPlishti, from striking the Plishti. David is returning with everyone. They came out to greet Sheol. Bisupim, with tambourines, with the drums, b'simcha, with joy, over shalishim, and with cymbals. Right in the middle of mentioning the music, in the musical instruments, it puts in b'simcha. The whole thing was this tremendous atmosphere of joy. Instruments before, instruments after, but the inside, people really felt a tremendous simcha. And we're right now at a turning point. It was a very short time. We had to savor the moment. But for a very short time, Klal Yisrael had as the leader Sheol HaMelech, and it had David, and everyone got along well together, and they had the two great, tremendous tzaddikim, and everything was good, which we're going to see in a moment changes. It changes now. It's not the first time Klal Yisrael sang. It's not the first victory. It's not the first celebration. We know, Kriyas Yamsuf, Oz Yosher Moshe. So Moshe went out and he sang a Shira with Ruach HaKodesh and the Klal Yisrael. And they said, Oshira Hashem, we'll sing to Hashem. You have by Devoira Hanavi, of Atoshar Devoira, Borak Ben Avinoam. Devoira sang a Shira. And she said, Oshira Hashem, I'll sing to Hashem. Over here, the people singing are not Nevi'im. It's just regular people going. Yishno, in Klal Yisrael, the Choshiva, even nowadays, it's been pointed out, the Zemiris that Klal Yisrael sings on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, the Zemiris were all written by tremendous, by Rishonim, by Tzaddikim. They were in. It wasn't like a regular person gets up and writes a nice song and it all becomes popular. They were written by the Gedolim. And here, you have the women came out to sing a song. And we're going to see what they sang. But before we get to it, it's written Loshir, and I've saw the Ksiv, the way it's written with a Vav, would seem to be like Loshur, which I would think is connected with like Ashurenu v'lo Karov, or the meaning to look, to see, to gaze. It says by Yosef, when Yosef HaTzadik went by Mitzrayim, and he was elevated to greatness, It says, Bonos tsoado ale shur. One pshat is, the daughters stood on the wall to look. They wanted to look at Yosef. It could be lo shur. In other words, they came, they wanted to see what's going on. But the Kree, the way we read it, is lo shir, that they came out to sing with these special dances. Vatanena anoshim ha-mesachakos. The women that mesachakos can mean to joke around, to make frivolous, to give a spirit of merriment, to make things a little lightheaded. The women who are mesachakos called out vatomarno, and they said as follows. Hiko shol ba'alofov. Shol struck with his thousands. V'dovid and David beriva voisov with his tens of thousands. Now, we already learned they came out to greet Shaul HaMelech. It's inconceivable that they were planning to praise David as being greater than Shaul. That would mamish be moirid b'malchus. Or you can't praise, we'll see later on, when you're speaking to the king, you don't even say, my master the Yoav, my master the general. In other words, when you're speaking to the king, there's nobody else that counts but the king. And certainly to praise David in the same breath with Shaul and say David is greater, they never have the chutzpah to do such a thing. But they were mesachakos. They were a little bit frivolous, a little bit in a joking manner. And what they said could mean, Hiko shol ba'alofov, Shol went with thousands of soldiers. And he struck the enemy. V'David b'rivavosov, David needed a bigger army. David needed tens of thousands. And then he was victorious. Of course, if you can be victorious with lesser people, that's a greater accomplishment. But it doesn't say how many of the enemy was killed. It could mean Shaul killed thousands and David killed tens of thousands, as if David brought a greater victory. But it doesn't say Hika Shaul alofim, or it says ba alofov with his thousands. So it seems to me that he needed less soldiers to accomplish the victory. V'David rivavosav can mean David, he had to use his rivavosav can mean people who shoot with the arrow. Like we just had in yesterday's laning by Yishmael, by he rovek hashos, he would shoot with the arrow. Rivavosav can mean with his archers. But it could be understood as Shaul is greater. But the joke is, it's one of those expressions that can be understood in more than one way. And Shaul had this ruach ra. And Shaul immediately picked up on this, and he said, "Vayichar l'Shaul ma'oid." And Shaul became very furious, very angry. "Vayera be'einav," and it was bad in his eyes. Hadavar hazeh, this matter. "Vayomer," and Shaul said, "Nosnu leDavid revovois." They gave to David the tens of thousands. That David works with tens of thousands. "Vali nosnu halafim," and I'm like the lower level. And I have thousands. Va'od lo yacha melucha. If that's so, the only thing he doesn't have is the melucha, to be king. In other words, people are already thinking of David as the leader, that David's greater than Shaul. This is an expression you have by Paro. When Paro made Yosef the leader, he said, "Raka kisei egdal mimeka." You can have everything, but the throne remains above you. In other words, the one thing that Yosef didn't get is that Paro is the king. Ani Paro, uvilodecha, then you can be in charge of what people do. But I'm Ani Paro, remember, I'm Paro. Here Shaul realized that David already has everything. It's the only thing left is the melucha. And there's no saying that David's not going to go after it. Another point that the Mephorshim mentioned, which could be as a constant bothered Shaul, is again, there's so many different emotions and so many different thoughts that go through Shaul's mind. But the Shiras of Klal Yisrael were always praising Hashem. Oshira Hashem ki go go. Or Anochi Lashem Anochi Oshira. Here, the women are going out dancing and they're praising David. He could the David Beriva voice of. Where do you have such a thing? Klal Yisrael goes out to battle, and they're victorious, and you sing to the general? something seems to have happened that once David took over, it seems the whole focus of Klal Yisrael always thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden, with David, it seems to be a koichi v'oitzim yadi, that David is doing it. And David is a threat to the whole Klal Yisrael, seems to now all of a sudden feel that they're able to do it with their generals, and they don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this is a sakana in the whole... Where's Klal Yisrael putting their bitachon? Is it in David or is it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, Shaul considered David a threat not just to him, but if David's the leader, it's a threat to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he's going to work on stopping it. And we'll see that Vayhi Shaul Ovein Es David. Shaul, Poshet, we read it, Oyein Es David. The Kriya is Vayhi Shaul Oyein Es David. Oyein from the word ayin. He was gazing at David, as Rashi says, Oyein Es David with an ayin raw. At that point, Shaul, from then on, is looking at David with an ayin raw. He's looking at him with a very negative, with a bad eye. And it's written, the ksiv is without a yud, as if avon, as if guilt, as if avera. In other words, he looks at David and he sees avon. Here's the sin. In other words, David's no good. But yishol oyin es David mehayom hahu vahola. From that day on, Shaul looks at David and he sees negative. He sees David is, besides all the questions we had about David's yichus and how can David be a leader of Klal Yisrael if he comes from Moab, but you see what's happening. Take a look at what the people are dancing about the tremendous military prowess. So from that point on, he looked on David with a bad eye. And we're going to see that the way Shaul treated David, you don't find a mass protest. You don't find Klal Yisrael coming to the defense of David. Even though a minute ago we learned that David found favor in everybody's eyes, v'gam be'enei avdei Shaul, but we're going to see that Shaul, it was gradual, but he was able to convince the people that David was no good. David was a danger to them. And therefore the people stayed with Shaul. But v'ayimi mochros, it was the next day. And by the way, you don't find Shaul ever discussing it with Shmuel. Like Shmuel is the forgotten man over here. Shmuel Hanavi. And we're going to see that Shmuel was still alive. We're going to see later on, Shmuel's still around. It could be just Shaul knows, and Shmuel told him that he lost the Malchus, Hashem ripped it away from him, and Shmuel criticized Shaul so strongly, Shaul was like embarrassed, and he knew that Shmuel wouldn't want to, he couldn't ask Shmuel a Shaila anymore. Shmuel wanted to have nothing to do with him. So Shaul just had to judge it on his own, and he decided that David is a danger to Klal Yisrael, is a danger to the throne, he's a danger to Klal Yisrael. Vayimi mochros, it was the next day. And as I say, all this happened so quickly. David killed the plishti, and when they're coming back, vayi bavom, the women go out to sing, and then the next day already, you know, that tremendous euphoria that must have been in Klal Yisrael, that David's successful and everyone's so happy and everything seems so good, it lasted just a very short time. Vayimi mochros, it was already the next day. Vatitzlach ruach Elokim, and the spirit of Hashem passed over. But it was a spirit that was raw, that was bad. And it went El Shaul to Shoel to Shaul Vayisnabe Besoch Habayis. And he said a nevuah. That's what it seems to me. Vayisnabe comes over a nevuah. He said a nevuah in the house. And we'll see in a moment what was this nevuah that Shaul had. But this Ruach Elokim came to Shaul. A Ruach Elokim means a spirit from Hashem, in other words, he was somehow, and it was a nevuah, he was able to see the future, he was somehow elevated, but it came in a negative manner. It was a Ruach Elokim, and yet it was bad. It could be Shaul had visions, he saw this person in front of him, who knows, a lot of the kings that came out did tremendous averus. You even have, you know, Yaakov, when Ephraim and Manasseh were brought to Yaakov Avinu, he said, Vayomer Miela, who are these? In other words, because he was able to see in the future, certain Rishayim would come out. In other words, Shaul had this Ruach Elohim Vayisnabe, and he said like in a Nevuah, or it's he realized in the future that in front of him is the person who's going to be a king, and Klal Yisrael is going to have a very difficult time, and there's going to be a lot of downfalls in the kings that are going to come. There's a danger here. He could sense that there's a danger. Most of the Mefarshim follow, though, the Targum. The Targum used the word Vishtati. He was like a fool, a shoita, an idiot. A Navi and a shoita have one thing in common, that they both don't deal with the reality as we know it. A regular person sees this world, and a shoita is totally out of touch with what's going on, and a Navi is also like in his old world, thinking in the future. So Vayisnabe here means B'soch HaBayis, he was like a Navi, meaning he wasn't, he was acting in a crazy man, in a manner that wasn't understood by people living in this world. He was acting like a shaita. V'David menagin biyodo ki yom biyom, and David was playing the music with his hand like he did every day. But this time the music didn't help. The music in the past, he played the music and the Ruach Ra went away. This time it didn't help him. V'achanis biyad Shaul, and Shaul was holding the spear in his hand. V'ayotel Shaul asachanis, and Shaul threw the spear. V'ayomer, and he said, Akev v'David uvakir, I'll strike in David and in the wall. In other words, his plan was to throw it with such a force, such an anger, that it would go straight through David and go into the wall. In other words, a pound, not just to kill David, it was like with an anger, Akev David uvakir, go straight into the wall. Vayisov David miponav pamoyim. And two times that happened, and David turned away, and the spear missed. Vayira Shaul milifnei David. And David and Shaul realized that it was miraculous. Shaul was away. It wasn't like he knew how to throw a spear, and here it's in close range. They're together. David's right in front of him, and he throws the spear, and two times it misses. Vayirad Shaul milifnei David. Now Shaul got a fear from David. Ki hoya Hashem imo. Hashem was with him. Of course, Shaul didn't realize Hashem was with him. Shaul saw lechayer that David was tremendously matzliach. Umeim Shaul saw, and the Shechina left Shaul. Shaul was, he could feel that Hashem wasn't with him, and David was tremendously matzliach. And whatever concerns he had about the fact that David was, you know, seemed to be working with a kochi v'otzim yadi and whatever, but Shaul, but David seems to be escaping. There seems to be, he's successful. And Shaul got a tremendous fear. Vayisireu Shaul meimo. So Shaul demoted him. That's it. Instead of being the head of the Anshei HaMelchama, instead of being one of the heads of the army, instead of being the chief musician, Vayisireu Shaul meimo. Shaul removed David, that he shouldn't be here. Vayisimeu lo sar olef, and he made him the officer in charge of 1,000 soldiers. Many officers like that. He lowered his rank. Could be he removed David because he was afraid to have David around. Maybe David's out to kill him. Shaul was afraid. It's better if he's not here. Let him get out of the palace. And he put him as a sar ha'olef. Vayetzi vayovo lifnei ha'am. But even though he was now had a minor position, the people still realized whatever they had to do, they wanted David to be the leader. And David went out and he came back before the people, leading the soldiers. Vahi David l'chol derochav maskil. David in all of his ways was successful. The ksiv again is derocho, his way. Or it's the one way of Avodas Hashem. Or maybe the ksiv doesn't let us know that he was successful in all his ways. The ksiv is written deficient because his success didn't seem to last very long. Surely he'd be on the run. But Vayi David l'chol derochav maskil. David in all of his ways was successful. Vashem imo, and Hashem was with him. The Navi Shmuel tells you the way it looks for Klal Yisrael. L'maisa, David looked like a tremendous success. Whatever was done to me was successful. But if you open up a Tehillim, You see what David HaMelech writes about himself. The fact that he was persecuted, he felt that he, we'll see in a moment, he felt like he was a nothing, and that he was a cherpas odom, v'zui om, he was despised, he was nothing. V'anochi tolas v'loish, I'm like a worm, I'm not like a man. But it appeared that he was tremendously successful. Just David knew himself the torment of having Shaul HaTzadik, the king of Klal Yisrael, out to kill him, and considering him to be the worst thing that's happened to the Jewish people. Vayar Shaul Asheru Maskil Ma'oid. Shaul saw that he was very successful. Now we learned before that he was successful. He had as recently as Pasuk Yud Beis, but that was before David was demoted. Well, now what happened was Shaul made him the Tsar Aleph. He sent him out of the royal palace, and David's still very successful. He's maskil ma'oid. And the word maskil means it wasn't like a luck. He was lucky, but it was with seichel. He was just very, in other words, using his wisdom, he was very successful. Vayogar miponov. This is a stronger term. He was afraid of David, but before the expression was vayira. Here it's vayogar. There's like a trembling. There's a tremendous, like a panic that what should he do? I say we learn through the parshiyos, and we're going to feel bad for David, who's on the run from Shaul. But if you would appreciate what Shaul went through, or Shaul didn't know what to do. Here, there's the David is the threat, and he's successful. He's not stoppable. V'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda ohevas David. All of Klal Yisrael and Yehuda, they all love David. Ki yotzei bavo lifneihem, because he went out and he came in front of them. It's a nice expression. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. But here it seems the people loved David because they saw that he cared for them. He was yotzei bavo lifneihem. He went out and he came in before them. So even though he was sent out, he's no longer with Shaul, but he was with the people. And the people loved him. But we'll see, Shaul somehow, it's going to take Shaul time, but he is able to turn the people against David until it reaches the level where David's on the run, and he convinces the people that even though you have a tremendous benefit from David, it's like an avatluya bedavar. They didn't love David because they saw his tremendous madregas. They loved David because he benefited them. And Shaul worked on that and convinced them that David's no good. But first, he's got to deal with David. What does he do now? Vayomer Shaul el David, Shaul said to David, Hine biti hagadola meirav, behold, my daughter, my older daughter, Meirav, oisa eten l'chole isha, I'm going to give her to you as a wife. Achei eli leven chayil, but I want you to be a valiant warrior, be a brave soldier. V'hilochem ilchamos Hashem, and fight the battles of Hashem. Could be it's a hint. Don't think it's koichi v'otzim yodi. I know that it seems that's what people feel about you. But no, go fight the battles of Hashem. Whatever happens, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Hashem Ishmochama. Hashem's the one fighting the battle. But you should go and participate. The Targum says, go fight the battle da'amei da'Hashem, of the people of Hashem. Because if you fight for Klal Yisrael, you're fighting for Hashem. And even though the world doesn't admit it, but they know it. They know it, that Klal Yisrael is the one that represents Malchus Shamayim. And if you fight for Klal Yisrael, you're fighting for Hashem. The problem is, David, well, what's this new deal? The deal was, whoever kills the Plishti gets to marry the king's daughter. So what's he saying now? I'll give you my daughter, Meirav, and just make sure you got to fight and be a brave warrior. It should be a done deal. But the truth is, the Malbim mentions, and we'll see in a moment, Shaul had two daughters. He had Meirav, and we'll see afterwards he had a daughter, Michal. He never promised David which daughter he would marry. He always had the option of telling David, I'll give you my younger daughter, Michal, and she'll be your wife. And in order to marry the younger daughter, the protocol is to let the older daughter get married first, and therefore you have to wait a little bit, and eventually you'll marry Michal. Shaul wants David to be killed, to be finished with. So he says, you know what? He's looking for an excuse. He wants David to go out and fight some wars and hopefully he'll be killed. So he said, you know what? I'll give you my older daughter. Hinebiti hagedola meirav. I'll give you my older daughter. I won't promise you the younger and you'll have to wait. I'll give you the older one right now. On the condition that you go and you fight the Melchamos Hashem, the battles of Hashem. V'shol Omar, Shaul said, Pashit he said to himself, I don't think he said it to anyone, but the Navi's telling us Shaul's feelings were, Al tehi yodibo. My hand shouldn't be against David. Now, he tried killing David, he was unsuccessful. But now Shaul said, you know what? I shouldn't have to do it. Usehibo yad plishtim. Let the plishtim be the ones to kill David. And if he'll have to go out and fight them, he'll get killed. Vayomer David el Shaul. So David said to Shaul, Mi anoichi, who am I? Umi chayai, who is my life? Normally you say, like we say in davening, morning, umechayai, what is my life? And I was like, what importance is it? Me is usually goes on the person. Mi anoichi, who am I? Could mean, who am I based on my background? Who am I? Umi chayai, who am I based on my life right now? What have I done in my life? I don't have accomplishments to my name that I should marry. Mishpachas Ovi B'Yisrael, the family of my father in Klal Yisrael, ki eyeh choson la'melech, that I should be a son-in-law to the king. Who am I that I should marry the king's daughter? The simple meaning is like, who am I? What is my life worth? And what significance is my family? Mishpachas Ovi B'Yisrael, my family is also not prominent. There is a girsa, though, in the Targum that the Radak brings down, that he's saying, who am I and what is my life? In other words, I personally am a zero. But he didn't want to put down his family. Mishpachas Ovi B'Yisrael. My family, that's the one thing I have to be proud of. Mishpachas Ovi B'Yisrael, I come from a choshuva. Maybe you knew that. There was the question on his yichas. But he mentioned the one thing that his shining star is the fact that he comes from such a family. Mishpachas Ovi B'Yisrael, the mishpacha of my father in Klal Yisrael. But me, myself, who am I? What's my life? Ki eyeh choson la'melech, that I should be a son-in-law to the king. Now the question is, what exactly is that response? The deal was, the king said, I'll give you Meirav as a wife. And David said, who am I to marry the king? Does that mean that he's moichelet? In other words, okay, I don't plan on marrying the king's daughter. I'm not worthy. And we'll see in a moment, Shaul gave Meirav to somebody else. Okay, you don't want to marry the daughter, he gave it to somebody else. Or perhaps, he's not being Moichel the Shidduch, he's just saying, Mi anochi mi'chai, who am I? Am I worthy to marry the king? But of course, to marry into the king's family? But of course he was planned on marrying Meirav. So it's not clear, the different pshatim in the Mefarshim. Was David moichel the shidduch or was he not moichel the shidduch? Now at this moment, we'll see shortly, David mentions how he's poor. At this point, he doesn't mention it. Because the truth is, he was promised a tremendous wealth. He hasn't gotten anything yet. There were a lot of promises. Nothing was delivered. But he killed the plishti. He's entitled to a tremendous wealth. And he's entitled to the king's daughter. And again, there's a discussion exactly. Kiddushin always requires, it's illegal, besides all the Kiddusha and Yonim, but it's connected with the legal transaction. That a person acquires a wife legally by either writing up a document or you can do a Kinyan Kesef. The Kinyanim of marriage. A Kinyan Kesef requires that he gives the Kala something worth something. A lot of Masadre Kiddushin have the practice under the chuppah, they'll ask the witnesses, is this worth a pruta? Is this ring worth anything? Shouldn't be one of those things that you get in the store that's not even worth a pruta, not worthless. But is it worth a pruta? Because a legal transaction, you want to buy something, you have to give over something, even the lahavdil. You know, a lot of times the government will sell a building for a dollar. But it's sold for a dollar that you pay something and to make a kinyan. Over here, what did David give to marry Merav. It could be the understanding was the king promised him a tremendous wealth, and the king promised him his daughter. David didn't collect that money. He started thinking, no, I'd keep the money. And since you're keeping the money, that money will be, instead of that, I'll marry Merav. The money that I have, I'm a Kaddish B'milva, the money that you owe me should be the money for the Kiddushin. Which, by the way, is not a good Kiddushin. Or the guy can't tell a woman, you owe me a dollar, keep it, and that'll be the marriage. He has to give her his money. He can't just cancel the loan. But it doesn't mention what money was given for the Kiddushin. Maybe it was the money for the loan, in which case it wasn't a good marriage. Could be David was saying, he's not interested in the Shidduch because he's not worthy of marrying the king. But whatever was going on, Vayi Beis Tesis Merav Basho LeDavid, at the time of giving Merav to David, while this was the time that she would have married him, Vehi Nitnalad Riel HaMecholosi LeIsha, she was given to Adriel HaMecholosi from the place Mecholas. She was given to this person, Isha, as a wife. And it doesn't say clearly exactly, again, there's different pshatim. Either it means that Shaul just ignored the fact that she was promised initially to David, and he used one of the other cheshbonos, one of the calculations we mentioned before, that she's not married to David, David doesn't deserve her, she's not marrying David, and Shaul went ahead and gave her to Adriel. There's one pshat, that once, when a girl is a naira, or a ketana, when she's young, the father can marry her off. Once she becomes a gedoyla, when she's older, she's past the stage of nairus, and she's past her bas mitzvah, so then she's in her own hands, and her father can't marry her off, once she's a gedoyla. She was at the stage, maybe when they initially talked about it, she was a ketana, but at this point, or naira, at this point, she was given to Adriel, meaning all the men were doing the talking and they were discussing the shidduch. She might have gone into the other room and accepted the pruta from Adriel and said, okay, I'm married to you. So Shaul was discussing all of his plans with the shidduch that she should go to David. The Malbim brings it down that she got married without Shaul's consent. She was a gedolah and she did her own thing and she went ahead and she married Adriel. Whatever the case was, she would have been the wife of David and she ended up with Adriel. Could be it was her decision, but David didn't get it. He didn't get the wife that was promised to him. Now, the Shidduch must have been discussed earlier. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin, if a Jewish man goes to a woman and just meets her and says, let's get married, and he gives her a pruta, they'd give a guy malchus for that. They'd give him lashes. That's not a proper anhaga. You have to have shiduchim before you discuss it. It has to be done with a proper manner. This shidduch was discussed before. It seems like Shaul promised her to David if David goes and fights. And Shaul was convinced that David will definitely be killed. He'll see to it. He's going to go and he'll fight the Mohammed Hashem, but he'll be killed. And in the meantime, he's got to worry about the shidduch. So he's discussing a shidduch with Adriel for his daughter Merav, assuming that David would be killed. David wasn't killed, but the shidduch went through anyways. And she ended up marrying Adriel. Vateahav Michal Bashol es David. Shaul had another daughter, Michal. And she recognized the greatness of David. And she loved David. Ve'agiru l'Shaul, and they told Shaul, it doesn't say who, but they told Shaul that Michal was interested in marrying David, v'yishar ha'dover be'enov, and it was correct in Shaul's eyes. That's not a good idea. Let David marry Michal. It doesn't say who told Shaul. Maybe it was even Yonasan. Now, Yonasan loved David so much, and he knew that his father had thrown the spear at David, and he wanted to somehow create peace between Shaul and David. So he mentioned his sister, right? He knows Michal very well. It's his sister and it's his father. So he's the one who mentioned to Shaul, you know, Michal would marry David. But it doesn't say who mentioned the idea. Vayishar hadavar be'einav. And it was correct, it was straight in the eyes of Shaul. And we're going to see a number of the psukim, a number of the words from here to the end of the perek are missing letters. When you want to say somebody, you know, did something, in Lashon HaKodesh, very often you add the prefix, the vav and the yud. Vayiven, whatever he understood, or he built, or vayas, vayorotz. Here, yoshar, the yud is part of the shoresh. In other words, one yud is part of the word yoshar, to be straight in his eyes. When you want to say vayishar, it would have had two yuds. Vayishar adover be'enov, it was correct, and Shaul's eyes should have been written with two yuds. And it's missing a yud. Because even though it was good in Shaul's eyes, you know why it was good? Because the same way he was hoping that David would marry Merav, or be promised Merav, and therefore be killed, this idea that, hey, maybe he'll marry Michal, was also, this is a way, a ploy, to have David killed. As he's looking for something that he is going to, David is going to have to do something that's risky, that's dangerous, and he's going to put his life on the line in order to get this shidduch. So the bait is going to be Michal. So Vayishar Hadavar Be'enov, it was straight in the eyes of Shaul, but it's missing a yud. It was straight in his eyes, but it was not the type of glatta svara the way we would see it. The plan was that as a result, David would be killed. And by the way, this whole sugya with Michal and Merav, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, discusses. Exactly, if David was married to Merav, then how did he marry the sister Michal? Nor did David think he was married to Merav? Exactly what, you know, what happened? As we've mentioned, there were reasons why Merav married Adriel, because they felt it wasn't a marriage. But it's not so simplistic. It's an in-depth discussion in the Gemara. Or it could be the Kiddushin was whoever would marry Goliath. Maybe killing Goliath is like, it's worth a pruta, right? Shaul would have paid a pruta for somebody to kill Goliath. So maybe doing that action is like giving Shaul a pruta. So it's not clear exactly, was it a marriage, was it not a marriage? But as we learned, there was a rationalization that Merav was not married to Dovin, she was given to Adriel. And now we're going to see a similar thing with Michal. There's going to be a whole discussion, is Michal married to David or not? Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, et nen aloi, you know what? I'll give Michal to David. Usehi lo lamokesh, and she'll be a trap for him. Usehi bo yad plishtim, and let the hand of the plishtim be against David. Vayomer Shaul el David, so Shaul said to David, bishtayim tischatein bi hayoim, with his two daughters, Tischatin bihayom, will be married to me today. Meaning, as I say, there was this questionable shidduch, was he married to Merav, and now you'll have my daughter Michal. Posh pshat is as Rashi brings down, meaning, you'll have one of my two daughters. In other words, we initially talked about Merav, you'll get the other one. Bishtayim tischatin leinodz, I have two daughters, you'll get one of them. Vayitzav Shaul asavodov. Shaul commanded his servants. And again, it's written without that yud. Avodoik, meaning he spoke to one person. He didn't call a press conference. He privately told one servant to spread the word among all of the Avodim. And by Tzav Shaul as Avodim, we read it that the command went out to all of the servants of Shaul. Dabru el David balot. Speak to David secretly, offhand, just like mention this idea, Lamor saying, Hinei chofetz b'cho ha-melech, the king wants you. At this point, David might say, you know, forget this whole thing. You promised me the daughter, and I see, after I kill the plishti, after I kill Goliath, Merav is given to Adriel. What's going on? But no, go ahead and try to convince David. The king really wants you. It's not like he's teasing you. He doesn't want you. He's looking for excuses. The king wants you to marry his daughter. B'chol avodav ayivucha. And don't think that the avodim, the royal household, is going against you. The servants of David, of Shaul, love you. The servants of Shaul love you, which they did. Just it could be Meirav went on her own, as one of the Peshatim was. She went and she married Adriel. Whatever happened, she married somebody else. But it's not that the king doesn't want you. And it's not that the servants don't want you. They would all love you to be the son-in-law of the king. V'ata yischatin b'melech. So now go and marry into the king's family. And as I say, Shaul didn't propose directly because he probably figured David would immediately say no. But here he wanted, it should be mentioned offhand that you should know there's a feeling that Shaul would really want you as a son-in-law. Right, Dabra Avde Shaul Ba'ozni David. The servants of Shaul spoke in the ears of David, as Hadvarim O'Ela, these words. They said it. Vayomer David, and David said, Hanakalo Ve'Nechem, is it light in your eyes? It's trivial. Yischatin Ba'Melech, to marry into the king's family? V'anochi ish rosh v'nikle, I'm a poor man. Rosh, I'm poor. V'nikle, and I'm light, I'm insignificant. I'm nothing. Who am I to marry the king? Now, Kubi mentioned ish rosh, because he had been hoping to get that money for marrying the plishti, and everything's going on. Lamaisa, at this moment, he realizes Kubi is not getting the money. As I say, one of the pshatim were that he was like, moichel the money, keep the money that you owe me for killing the plishti, and that money should be the kiddushin. And the rationalization would be makadish b'milva, canceling a loan is not a good kiddushin, and therefore she's not married to David. But could be he was like moichel the money he gave, and it's lost. As I say, it is an involved discussion. There are, if somebody's makadish with a hanoas milva, in other words, if you had a loan, and somebody came over to you and said, you know what, I'll do you a favor. I know you have a loan that's due. I'm good friends with a bank manager. I'll speak to him and he'll give you an extension. Would you pay a guy a pruta to speak on your behalf and get you an extension? Certainly. So the hanoah that I'm not collecting the loan right now is like I'm giving you something tangible. And it depends how it's couched, how you say the words, and exactly how it's done. But in any case, David is saying, I'm an ish rosh. L'maisa, I'm poor. I got no money out of this. V'niklan, I'm not significant. And it doesn't seem like Shaul is keeping his words to me. So what are you telling me about this shidduch? Forget it. V'yagidu avde Shaul olei. So the avodim of Shaul said to him, saying, Kadvorim ha'ele diber David. You know what David's response was? That he's not worthy of marrying into your family.
We'll continue next week. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.
Kivamea Arlos Plishtim. But he has a request which sounds a little bizarre. He's going to have to take 100 Arlos Plishtim. Meaning he's going to kill Plishtim, and then he'll cut off the orla, like doing a bris, lehinokim ba'oyvei ha'melech, to take revenge against the enemies of the king. And this is totally, this is what inspires an act of war. As if somebody, we even know nowadays, it's the tragic events, I don't even want to detail, we all know them. But if somebody's captured and he's killed 1, 2, 3, or a person shot in war, that's one thing. If a captive is taken and he's tortured, or he's disgraced and humiliated and just, you know, cut up, if